Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. The Holy Spirit is here already. His presence is here. And just open up your heart and God will bless you. Amen. So today's sermon is releasing your faith. Can you just say releasing your faith? Okay. And many times as you've walked in this journey with Jesus, I'm sure at one point or the other you've used your faith. You've believed for something. But what releasing your faith is talking about is how to make your faith work. How to make it effective. How to make it produce results. So today we are looking at how to release your faith. Get your faith working. Get your faith, you know, bringing results in your life every day. Quickly, before we go into the sermon, let's just go and let's make this victory confession. You remember the victory confession? Okay, let's just do this together. My Bible is the written word of God. The word of God is true, alive, and powerful. I meditate on the word. I believe the word. I confess the word. I live by the word. I am what the word says I am. I can do what the word says I can do. The anointed word will set me free. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. Let's also pray this prayer together. It's a prayer for revelation and it's a prayer for victory. As you pray this prayer, every day you begin to see God work in your life even more effectively. Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, grant me spiritual wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Grant that the eyes of my heart be flooded with light. Grant me to know the hope of your calling in me. Grant me to know the riches of your glory in me. Grant me to know the unlimited greatness of your power in and for me. I fervently ask for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, if you open your Bible to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 11. Releasing your faith. Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Someone wants to read for me from their own version? Mark 11, 23. Anyone wants to read? Yeah, I just give you the mic.
I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. You see? I just read that again from the New King James Version. Just again, the same thing being said. He said, assuredly, that says, I tell you the truth. You know, the other day I was preaching and we said, what is truth? What is true? That was the question Pontius Pilate asked Jesus. He said, what is truth? You know? And I know the answer now. Because Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. He said, I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. What is truth? What is truth? Truth is the word of God. The word of God is truth. John chapter 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Hallelujah. Say assuredly, certainly, beyond all doubt. So, for example, in human terms, we say beyond every reasonable doubt, isn't it? But this is not beyond every reasonable doubt. This is beyond all doubt. Facts can be beyond reasonable doubt, but truth is beyond all doubt because truth is eternal. It's, I'm telling you, I'm saying to you, whoever says to this mountain, And I want to stop there. The first thing I need to make you understand is that don't keep talking about your mountain. Are you with me? You're not helping yourself. Forget about the way the people of the world do it. You belong to a different kingdom. You are part of the kingdom of God. You have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness. You are now in the kingdom of God. So you cannot talk like the people of the world because you are a child of God. You are a son of God. You are a king and a priest unto God. Hallelujah. Don't talk about your mountain. That's not what the Bible said. Bible said, talk to your mountain. Hello? Don't talk about your mountain. Talk to your mountain. If there's a problem, for example, if you are going to like financial difficulty, don't keep talking about the financial difficulty. Don't tell everybody how impossible it is. You might have prayed for 10 hours. Yeah? Then you go for the 14 hours and talk about how impossible your prayer is. You are destroying that prayer. Are you listening to me? Yeah? Many people don't pray for 10 hours anyway. You pray for 5 minutes or 10 minutes about something and you spend the rest of the day talking about how impossible it is. Don't talk about your mountain. Talk to your mountain. Now, we explain to you how you can talk to your mountain. But that's what the Bible says. Bible says, whoever says to this mountain, you speak to your mountain. And what do you say to your mountain? It says, be removed and be cast into the sea. Meaning that, what you speak to your mountain is a word to deal with that mountain. Hello? You don't beg your mountain. You know, you don't say, mountain, please. Can you come back tomorrow? No. You speak to your mountain to give way. Why? Because the greater one lives in you. You have to understand it. That Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, who died on the cross, now lives in you. I am a king and I'm a priest. I am not a normal person. Are you listening to me? I was having a chat with my wife during the week, and we talk about being normal. That Christians, are not abnormal people. You know, we're not people living in misery. Low lives. No, we are. Of course, we're not low lives. But at the same time, we're not normal. I'm super normal. I'm supernatural because the greater one lives in me. Hallelujah. He is greater than sickness. He is greater than disease. He is greater than the devil. And he lives in me. Hallelujah. Now look at what the Bible says. They said, and does not doubt in his heart. Now what I want to explain to you is that, I need to explain to you that there's a difference between your heart and your head. Get it. Your heart is your spirit, the real you, the core you. Your head is where your mind is and your emotions and your will. Now, because you live in the physical world, from time to time, you may have doubts in your head. And that's okay, because the only way I could stop you from having doubts in your head is to cut it off. And I can't do that. See what I mean? So, having doubt in your head is possible. And the Bible cannot, you cannot completely eliminate doubts in your head. But you can resist them. But when you believe for something, you must have no doubt in your heart. Is it in your spirit? You must have no doubt. When you believe God for something based on his word, you must let it be settled in your heart that he will do it. And so when doubt comes in your head, you resist it. But don't let the devil deceive you and say, because there is some doubt in your head, it's not going to work. You see, that's where you get defeated. Okay? You are believing for something. Let's say, for example, you are not feeling well. You are feeling a bit under the weather. Yeah? And then you pray and you say, I believe I receive my healing. Because healing belongs to me. Because Jesus Christ paid the price on the cross. Yeah? Now, your body may tell you something different. Your head may tell you that, it's different. Let's assume that today I want to believe God for a 4-bedroom house. So I mean, my head will tell me what I have in the bank. And that is not possible. Hallelujah. But your faith is not based on your head. It's based on your heart. Now, don't give up the faith you have in your heart because your head is telling you it's not possible. Because the Bible doesn't say that you should not doubt in your head. It says you should not doubt in your heart. Your faith will work if you believe in your heart, despite doubts in your head. Let's say that again. If you believe firmly in your heart for something, and you maintain that belief, irrespective of doubts which may fly in and fly out of your head, that faith will work. Amen. Now, we'll just go further. I just don't need to explain that point to you. But believe that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now, can you just study that verse for me? How many times can you see believe in that verse? How many times can you see believe in that verse? How many times?
How many times?
One. How many times? I need you to follow me. I know you're following me, actually. How many times can you see believe in that verse? It's in red. So just look at the red.
One.
How many times can you see say in that verse?
Say what, sorry?
Say
or says?
Say. Three. Four. Four.
Yeah. Four. But the first one was Jesus talking, so three. Now, you need to understand something very important about faith. You see, the Bible never said that if you believe strongly for something in your heart, it will happen. That's not what the Bible said. That's not what Mark 11:23 is telling us. Let's check it again. Check it again. The Bible doesn't say that if you think and believe strongly in your heart, it will happen. No, that's what the Bible is saying. The Bible never said that. Does the Bible say that? No. The Bible says that if you say, hello, if you say, that's why your faith is not working sometimes or many times. Because you just believe it in your heart, but you say something different. Hello? I believe my name is Ben, but I don't say it. Will anybody ever call me Ben? No. See what I mean? But as I keep telling you that my name is Ben, let's assume that you call me, George. I say, no, my name is what? It's Ben. Because I believe it. But it doesn't become a reality as my name until I keep saying it. When God called Abraham and Sarai, he wanted to make them, make Abraham the father of many nations. So what did God tell Abraham? What was the first instruction? After promising him, what did he tell him to do? Do you remember the story? Yeah. You just don't know where I'm going. He changed his name. Abraham was 75 years old. Abraham and Sarah, come here. So Abraham means mighty father. And Abraham had no child. So generally, people have been mocking him behind him. Say, calls himself mighty father. Not even a child. Not even any, Not even nothing. Yeah? That was not bad enough. God says, Abraham, change your name. Not when, right there, change your name from Abraham to Abraham. Which means father of many natures. And then, just in case, his wife didn't want to cooperate. He said, Sarah, you to change your name to Sarah. Now, the next morning, I could imagine, Sarah is going to call Abraham. And all the guys are listening. Say, Abraham! People are like, what am I hearing today? What am I hearing? This guy has gone nuts. Yeah? He's calling himself the father of many nations. Do you see what God is doing there? Bible says that whosoever says to this mountain, be removed, and does not doubt in his heart, but keeps saying what he believes. Actually, I have a theory that you don't really believe something until you say it. So for example, when my wife wanted to start going to the gym, because she wanted to lose some weight, that's maybe many years ago, not recently. She started saying it. I'm going to join the gym. I'm going to join the gym. Because maybe she knows someone will say, no, you can't. You know, save the money. You know? But as she said it, she said what she believed, and as you say it, you believe it more. And then it became a reality. Do you understand what I'm saying? It became a reality. For example, if you wanted to... She's gone for 2-3 years. Now, if you wanted to go to Liverpool, for example, and it's something you really want to do and you believe you would do it, what will you start doing if you really believe it? You start saying it. I'm going to Liverpool. I'm moving to Liverpool. You know, when you get to that point where you really believe something, you start saying it. The problem, I want you to understand that what you say defines your life. I want you to understand that. That the reason why your faith is not working is because you're not saying it. For example, this church, you know, is a young church. You know, we just started last year. We're going. But what do I believe about this church? And what am I saying about this church? I believe that this church will be the biggest church in Hampshire. I'm not wishing it. I believe it. Now, if I believe it, I need to keep saying it. I need to keep saying it. As you say it, you believe it. As you believe it, you say it. As you say it, you believe it. As you believe, do not wait for your mountain to move before you say it. Because that mountain will not move. You need to speak to your mountain, and you need to keep speaking to your mountain based on the belief you have in your heart. Never mind the doubt in your head. Never mind the fact that physical things may tell you that it's not possible. If the word of God says it's possible, the word of God is truth. Let God be true, and let every man, including everybody in your society, be a liar. The day you start living like that, you begin to see miracles happen in your life. Hallelujah. Let's just move on. Now, I just quickly, you know, flash you back to the story we read. This was Numbers 13, 26 to 33, and Numbers chapter 14, verse 1 to 9. This was the story about the spies. So 12 spies were sent to spy out the land of Canaan by Moses. 10 of them came back and said, yes, the land is very good. It's flowing with milk and honey, but we saw the giants there. And look at what they said in verse 33. He said, in our own eyes, we were like grasshoppers. And so were we in their own eyes. Of course. Of course. And is that not the story about your own life? In that area that you need a breakthrough. In that area that you have a mountain. In your own eyes. If you are already thinking yourself as a grasshopper before your giant, the giant will help you to confirm it, isn't it? Hallelujah. They brought a bad report. The bad report was because it was a report full of unbelief. You see, they were reporting the facts. I want you to understand that it's not facts that will move your life forward. I just say that again. It is not facts that will move your life forward. If you want to experience the supernatural, if you want to experience breakthrough, if you want to live victoriously, you cannot live based on facts. People die based on facts. You cannot live based on facts. You have to live by faith. Bible said the just shall live by faith. And your faith is only activated by what you say. Are you listening to me? So there were these two other spies that went, which was Joshua and Caleb. Now, you don't know the name of the other spies, do you? Do you know it? Like, you know it, like, can you tell me the name of the two spies? No, but you know Joshua and Caleb. You see that what faith does? Faith gives you a legacy for many generations. When you stand with God in faith, great things are done in your life. And your name lasts many generations. Joshua and Caleb said, look, you know what? He said, look, yes, indeed. They are not denying the fact. Faith does not deny the fact. You know, just like I was, you know, having a child with my brother-in-law, you know. If someone is ill, I will not say, you know, the person is strong. If you are not feeling well, you are not feeling well, yes? But I will report it this way. I will say, for example, if my wife was not feeling well, I say, my wife is not feeling well, but I've already rejected that because the Bible makes me to understand that by the stripes that wounded Jesus, we are healed. I'm claiming healing. So I may report the fact, but immediately I back it up, yeah, with the truth. Because the fact will not move my life forward. It's the truth that will move my life forward. Amen. So don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying do not deny facts, but do not affirm facts. Hello, just get it. The problem is not the denial of facts, it's the affirmation. Don't affirm facts, because fact, the moment you begin to affirm facts, it's a spiritual thing. Anything you affirm with your mouth becomes spiritual. You can acknowledge, but do not affirm. Do not proclaim and do not declare facts. Proclaim, affirm, and declare truth, because it's truth that sets you free. The fact does not. The facts hold you bound. We are living in a fallen world, and the facts hold you bound. And so Joshua and Caleb said, don't fear them. Don't fear them. Just fear the Lord. Because the Lord will give us this land. Remember that the Lord had already promised them that they were going to have the land of Canaan. It doesn't matter the giants there. He said, every time God wants to do something in your life, the giants show up. Not maybe, they must show up. Yeah? When Jesus was here, the devil went to tempt him. Are you bigger than Jesus? No. But you have the shield of faith. Hallelujah. And you have the sword of the Spirit. You need to use them and you will win. And I tell you one thing, you need to understand one thing, that don't think, oh, I need to become very spiritually strong before I begin to use my faith. No. Once you have accepted Jesus, He lives in you. The greater one lives in you. Amen. Let's just go to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20, 21. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20, 21. Again, I want someone to read from their own Bibles, and then I can read mine. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20 and 21. Yes, do you want to read? Oh, you?
The positive words that a man speaks fill his stomach. He will be satisfied with what his lips produce. The power of the tongue is life and death. Those who love to talk will eat what it produces.
Amen. So what the Bible is saying there? He said death and life are in the power of the tongue. Hey, please don't wait. You know, some people say that until they see a miracle before they thank God. Oh, you won't see many miracles in your life. If you want to begin to see miracles in your life, begin to believe and say, then you will have. It doesn't work the other way. When I have it, then I will say it. Do you understand? You have to believe. When you believe, this is the litmus test for believing. If you don't believe, you don't truly believe something until you say, for example, if I believe in Jesus as my Lord, yeah, I don't truly believe it until I start saying it. In fact, I won't actually feel change until I say Jesus is my Lord. Because when I start saying Jesus is my Lord, I feel the reality of the fact that Jesus is my Lord. When I keep saying that the greater one lives in me, yes, 1 John chapter 4 verse 4 says, greater is he that is in you than is that he that is in the world. Yeah? And I know that you read it, you believe it. But until you start saying it, you will not experience the reality of it. You need to change your language. You need to mind your language. Your tongue is the power instrument that God has given you. You do not have faith until you begin to say what you believe. When you say it, it moves the spiritual power of God into action in your life. Look, I'm telling you that right there where you're feeling down, you can begin to speak that the greater one lives in you. You will not experience the joy of the Lord as your strength until you start saying, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Now, what's the good time to say the joy of the Lord is my strength? Not when you're feeling good. You say the joy of the Lord is my strength when you're feeling weak and down. And as you begin to say it, and as you begin to say it, you will now begin to experience the supernatural power of God lifting you up in strength. Amen. If you have a financial need, don't wait until things change. Start speaking to the mountain. Don't talk about the mountain, because that will generate unbelief. Don't search the internet about the mountain, because that will increase your unbelief. Hello, are you with me? Yeah? The more information you have about your mountain, the more your unbelief. Meditate on the word of God. What has God said about your mountain? If it's a financial need, Philippians chapter 4 verse 19 says, my God shall supply all your needs. How many? How many? All. It's either you believe the word of God or you don't. Bible says, that's why I said, that's why we read there, said, my Bible is the written word of God. The word of God is true. Actually, I should do it better. The word of God is truth. What is truth? It's the word of God. Hallelujah. He said, my God shall supply all my needs. So, you need to begin to say to that mountain of financial problem, my needs are supplied. My God, you're not praying. You know, there are things to pray for and there are things not to pray for. There are things to say. Now, you need to understand the difference. Now, anything in the Bible that you know that God has already promised you, is yours already spiritually. For example, healing is not what you pray for. It's something that is yours. Now, when I'm praying, if I start praying for healing, it means Jesus has not paid the price fully. I want to send him back to that cross to go and pay that price. Lord Jesus, can you please go back? And he will tell me, no. You understand? He has done it already. Now, we're not denying the fact that in the physical, you are not experiencing it as you should. But you don't organize a prayer meeting. I'm talking about yourself. I'm not talking about another person. You can pray for other people, you see, because you cannot manipulate the will of other people. That's why you pray for them. So, for example, if you are not feeling well, you know, I can pray for your healing because it involves your will. So I can pray for you. But if I was not feeling well, then I'm not to pray that God should heal me. I'm to claim with my words what I believe he has done for me already. Because prayer is to make God do something that has not happened. Okay, so for example, when you're praying for other people, you can't make them do things, or you can't make things happen in their life. You have to pray for God to intervene. But when you're doing something in your life, you have to believe for it. So sometimes many of the prayer we are praying is unbelief. You see? Over the Easter period, I watched some dramas about Jesus. And when you understand that Jesus Christ is the Passover Lamb, the Lamb of God, his blood was shed. He took your sin, but he didn't take your sin alone. He took your sorrows. You see, you will not understand this if you don't understand that actually every other thing going on in life is a consequence of the original sin. So if Jesus paid the price for the original sin, the same sacrifice takes care of all the consequences. So Isaiah 53 says that the punishment for our peace and well-being was laid upon Jesus. Isaiah 53:5. And by his wounds, we have been made whole. You see, he has done it. Now, the devil is a thief, isn't he? And he's a, you know, he comes not but to steal, to kill and destroy. And he will try with anybody, I said it. Whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, the devil will try. Now, your job is to stand your ground on the word of God and say, in the name of Jesus, I refuse this fever. I refuse this flu. I refuse this depression. You do not belong here. You do not belong here because by the stripes that wounded Jesus, I, put your name there, I've been made whole. I believe I'm whole. Now you keep saying that until you see it change in your body. You know, it amuses me that sometimes people claim faith, but when it comes to take the stand for their faith, they run away. Are you listening? And you see, Bible says something, say obedience is better than sacrifice. There's no point to do 10 hours prayer meeting about something that the Bible has told you what to do. Are you listening to me? You just need to obey and follow what God has told you and you see the result. I don't understand. To me, it's easier to take the word of God, keep saying it and keep confessing it because the word is truth. The facts are not truth. Keep saying it until my facts change. But rather than do that, you want to pray and fast to get what has been given already. You know, the problem is that what has been given is in the spiritual. It's not in the physical. But how you get into the physical is your faith and your words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I just want to give you a note of warning here and say to you that the same reason why your tongue can bring life is the same way your tongue can bring death. Please be careful what you say. Don't talk unbelief. Don't talk doubt. You know, don't talk negative. Hey, it can be a habit. Yeah, I know. But look at you. Where do you want to go to? Where do you want your life to move to? Is it in the positive direction or in the negative direction? Your words determine where your life is moving to. If you talk negative, those things will pull you back. It doesn't matter if people see, you know, empathize with you when you talk negative. Don't talk negative. It will never move your life forward. If you want to move your life forward, talk positive based on God's word. I'm not just talking about positive thinking and positive confession. I'm talking of positive based on God's word. Remove negative talk from your life. Don't say to yourself, some people say to yourself, I will never amount to anything. And they keep saying it. And the more they say it, the more they believe it. And the more they believe it, the more they say it. And they never amount to anything. No. Don't say that. Say to yourself, I can do all things through Christ. Amen. Who strengthens me. Now, I want you to understand that you may not feel like it when you start saying these things. And Jesus did not say you will feel like it. Just keep saying it. Don't talk unbelief. Talk faith. You will see miracles. If you talk faith, you will see the supernatural. If you talk faith, you will walk in divine health. If you talk faith, you will see uncommon breakthrough. What is holding you bound is little, because the greater one already lives in you. The missing link is that you are not using your faith. You use your faith to believe in Jesus, isn't it? How did you get born again? Can you just remind me?
Sorry.
How did you get born again?
By confessing sin and asking Jesus into your life.
Yeah. And how did you feel? How did you know that you are born again? How did you know? How do you know for sure that you are born again?
Joy.
You have joy. But when, what's up when you don't have joy? How do you know that you are born again? I just remind you. The reason why you know you are born again is because when you believed in Jesus, he started telling every other person that, I believe in Jesus. He's my Lord. You know. That's where the reality comes. There are some people who believe in Jesus, but they don't know they are born again. You know why? Because they never said it. They never said it to anybody. They never said that Jesus is not my Lord. The moment you start saying it, the reality comes on you. You know that you know that you know. The same way, everything spiritual comes by saying. So Joshua and Caleb said, he said what? He said, we are able to overcome them. That's what we won't say. We don't deny the facts. But he said, don't worry, we are able to overcome these giants. Look at David. Oh, David dealt with Goliath, isn't it? But go back to that story. Look at the story again. Did David just go and deal with Goliath? He started saying, he went to Saul. He said, give me this Goliath. I will. You know? He started saying. He believed and he said. He believed and he said. And eventually it became a reality. Don't wait until your mountain moves before you say. Speak to your mountain. Amen. Finally, let me just open to the last piece of scripture there. And what I wanted to do was, after this message, I would like to pray with anybody who needs prayer. And I want to do that all the time now. I'll just give 5-10 minutes. I'll sit here. If you want prayer, we'll pray with you. Because, you see what? I, in my life, I'm experiencing the supernatural. I want you to experience it. I want you to experience it every day of your life. That you know that the God you're serving is truly alive. You have nothing to give to God. He has done everything for you. Hallelujah. He has called you to come and enjoy him and to serve and bring others people in. That's what he has done. So Hebrews chapter 4 verse 14. Just let's look at that finally. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 14. I'll let someone else read that and they will round up on that. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 14. Okay. Maybe I just give it to are you there?
Hebrews chapter 4 verse 14 from NIV. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Amen.
Hallelujah. Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. You see, your faith is dead if you don't profess it. And I say that again. Your faith, no matter how strongly you believe something, it is dead if you don't profess it. Yeah? If you are not married and you love somebody, yeah? You love somebody desperately. If you never say it, you have no chance. Are you with me? Your faith is dead if you don't profess it. Whatever you're believing for is dead if you don't, no matter how strongly you believe, if you don't say, that faith is dead. The Bible says, let us hold fast to our confession of faith. Let me tell you, this is where you lose the victory. Are you listening to me? I'm rounding up. When you start confessing your faith, you give up too easily. You don't persist. You don't hold firmly to that confession. You don't hold firmly to it. You know? You don't. You look around. You see what's, look at what's happening in your body or in your mind or in your life, and you give up the confession of your faith. Don't give up that confession. If you truly believe in something, you will keep saying it. Remember that you're not believing with your head, you're believing with your heart. So it's independent of what is happening. You see, when you believe with your heart and you say what you believe with your mouth, and you continue to say it over the situation, you continue to talk and speak to your mountain in the name of the Lord, the situation will change. You will experience the supernatural. Amen. I want you to speak to yourself. Now let's just make that confession with me. Say, I will no longer talk about my mountain. Say that. Now just think about what you're saying. Let's say that again. I will no longer talk about my mountain. I will practice talking to my mountain based on my faith in God's word. I will hold fast, say that, to the confession of my faith until my situation changes. Because God is true and His word is truth. Let's just pray. Hallelujah. Just as you made that confession, I want you to pray into it. Now, in particular, look at the mountains in your life right now and begin to believe that they will move and begin to speak right now. Don't wait till you get home. Speak now. Begin to talk to your mountains now. The greater one lives in you already, you see? That's why you can talk to them. Talk to your mountains now. Talk to your mountains. Talk to your mountain. Tell your mountain who you are. Who are you? You have Jesus living in you. There's no other sacrifice. You have the best thing you can have. You have to just use it. Talk to your mountain. Talk to your mountain. And pray to the Lord, say that the Lord should give you the grace to remember not to talk negatively, but to always talk according to the word of truth to your mountain, so that you can experience the supernatural every single day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name. Father, we thank you, God, for the opportunity to be in your presence, to hear your anointed word. We thank you.